This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between, throwing it down. The Thursday night throwdown has begun. With the National Basketball Association playoffs off tonight, the NHL playoffs take center stage. And we've got some interesting matchups going on in the late night hours right now, including the Nashville Predators and the Colorado Avalanche. Colorado smoked them in game one. Right now, they're getting all that they can handle. We're tied at one right now, early in the third period of play. Meanwhile, we got the Calgary Flames trailing the Dallas Stars at 1-0. We're on the under, but we need the Flames to light the torch and get this thing going. We're going to break it down in game throughout the evening. We got another period. We got a couple of periods coming up here. We got the third period just started here in Denver, and we've got the third period coming up here in Calgary. Teddy Covers is coming up as well, straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Teddy Covers joins us. We got a stacked show tonight. Teddy Covers from Vegas, Arash Markazi from Los Angeles, the Big E, Eric Cullen from Toronto, and Big Card Julio with our Windy City Sports Report from Chicago. So it's not a bad cross-section tonight. So Teddy, Arash, Julio, and the Big E, Eric Cullen. A lot of Major League Baseball news to get to this evening, including the biggest comeback in Major League Baseball in a long time, especially for the Mets. And in fact, if you were on the Philadelphia Phillies tonight, you probably don't want to hear this. You've already lost your money, and now you're going to find out that basically you were in a situation it was 330-0. 330-0. The Mets, when the Mets come back tonight, they scored 7 runs in the top of the ninth inning to beat the Philadelphia Phillies. Prior to tonight, the Mets had lost 330 consecutive games when trailing by 6 or more runs going into the ninth inning. 330 straight games they have lost when losing by 6. Going into the ninth, they win, cash the ticket. We were on the Mets, never in doubt. Easy win. Never in doubt. In case you're wondering what the number was going into the ninth inning, 60-1. It was 60-1. Man. Seriously, think about like if anybody out there, which nobody did because they'd already be on Twitter talking about it and there'd be pictures and screenshots and stuff. So nobody even put 100 on this, did they? Because even then, that's some serious cash. Right? Let's seriously, you put $1,000 on this, you just won $60,000. You put $530K. You know what I mean? Like, do the math. Either way, it's 60-1. It's a lot of money. And you put $10 on this, you would have made. Somebody must have put 10 on it. Somebody, don't tell me it's like the Triumph song. Somebody out there somewhere had to have put, somebody had to have taken the Mets. I didn't. I already had the Mets. I gave up on the game. I already had the Mets. For the record, other things that are 60-1 right now, to put in perspective, the Dallas Mavericks are 60-1 to win the NBA Finals. Joel Embiid is 60-1 right now to win the NBA Finals MVP. And Christian McCaffrey is 60-1 to lead the NFL in receiving yards right now. None of which those things are going to happen. The Mavericks are not winning the title, and Embiid is not winning the Finals MVP, and McCaffrey ain't leading anything in anything. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. It's the Thursday night throwdown on Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. We throw it down on SiriusXM Channel 159 Sports Grid Radio Networks. We've got a lot of stuff to unpack here this evening. We'll hit the NBA that we're off tonight. So the NHL is taking center stage. We've got some great games going on. Hard-hitting, competitive, close games. Colorado Avalanche absolutely ambushed the Nashville Predators in game one, and they ended up beating them 7-2. Right now it's 1-1, and we're now under 10 minutes remaining in the third period of play. The Nashville Predators were getting plus 2.5 on the puck line tonight. Dallas Stars giving the Calgary Flames all they can handle. The Stars are up by 1 right now. Second intermission. Of course, the Calgary Flames won the first game 1-0. We're only under 5.5 in this contest. Hopefully you weren't on the Philadelphia Phillies if you're tuning in right now on our AM radio affiliates. And I've always said this before, there's nothing worse than having like a bad Sunday of NFL betting, and then you got to kick back and watch the highlights like over and over and over and over, and after a while you just can't take it anymore and you want to smash things. Well, I'm sure right now people in Philadelphia want to smash things. The Philadelphia Phillies, they were winning 7-1 going into the ninth inning. They gave up 7 runs to the visiting New York Mets. The Mets scored 7 runs in the top of the ninth inning. It's the first time in 330 games. All right? First time in 330 games. 25 seasons. 330 times in a row. They were 0-330 when losing by 6 or more going into the ninth inning, and the Metropolitans get it done. Manny Machado continues to get it done. This guy's having an unbelievable season. He's hit not one but 2 home runs. New York Rangers get it done tonight at the Garden. The NHL playoffs take center stage this evening. We break it down. The Florida Panthers smoke the Washington Capitals. Teddy Cover steps up and in straight for the strip in Las Vegas. Nevada, Arash Markazi, the Biggie, Eric Cohen, and more. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge?
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
And get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Whoa, yeah! Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. This Nashville, Colorado game is very compelling. I can't look away. Even though I got big money on the Calgary Flames as well. 7 minutes and 24 seconds remaining with the Preds and the Avalanche. Connor Ingram, rookie goaltender. And I'm just wondering, actually, because I was wondering who kept saying, like, for the last couple of days, every time people would say, well, the goalies, and I'd get mad right away. And I was like, I don't want to hear about this. Like, it's low-hanging fruit. All right? Well, the goaltender, head-to-head. Well, here's a kid, he's played 3 games in his life, standing on his head right now. This guy's making one save after another. I'm telling you, like, the whole thing. Yes, you need good goaltending to win in the NHL playoffs. You obviously need good goaltending. You do not need a star goaltender. I was a goalie. I know the position well. And I'm telling you right now, and I also know the game well. Look at the history of the National Hockey League. How many star goalies have won cups? Like, how many guys have been like, yeah, they won the cup because of him? Right? Who? Patrick Waugh? Yeah, you're right. That was in 1993. All right, Patrick Roy stole a cup in 1986, and he stole a cup in 1993. We'll call it more 93 than 86. 86 was a pretty good team. He didn't steal any cups for the Colorado Avalanche. Martin Brodeur is one of the greatest goalies ever to play the game. He didn't steal nothing. The guy faced 6 shots a night. All right? You know, and what you say about a cup? Actually, let me sort of amend this before we bring Teddy in here. It's hard to win a Stanley Cup anyways. Like, you know what I mean? It's very difficult to win a Stanley Cup no matter who the goalie is. But I'm saying being a goalie is a lot like a relief pitcher. It's very similar in the sense that when you're dialed in and you're hot, and no one's going to hit the guy. Right, and if he loses his confidence a little bit and he starts giving up home runs, then everybody's hitting home runs off the guy. So my whole point is with hockey, people sort of think, oh, you get this one goalie. Whatever, man. The Montreal Canadiens had one goalie. They ran his ass into the ground. He had to take the year off and because of, like, you know, his psychological toll it took on him. Right? So you don't want to have that one goalie run him into the ground anymore. You have to have a hot goalie. You have a hot goalie. It doesn't matter, man, whether this kid's hot for 2 weeks and you get another, the other guy comes back and he's hot, right? You ride the hot goalie, but you don't need a superstar goalie. We'll get back to this after. Me and Teddy Covers argue about a lot of things, but I don't even think he's going to try to argue about this. Want to talk some hockey, Teddy? Teddy Covers! Can't believe it's been a week since we were sitting face-to-face. What's up, Teddy?
Feels like, how long does it feel like? Probably about a week or so.
For me, I live on super time, Teddy, super speed. For me, it feels like 4.2 days. 4.2. Sort of everything's just speeded in half for me, actually. So, I was talking about the NHL playoffs, no NBA basketball tonight, so I guess you focused in on the Major League Baseball card, Teddy.
Oh, I had a bunch of fun with the baseball card tonight. Yeah, I had the Phillies and the Tigers. How much fun was that?
Wow, because I was going to open up with this actually, obviously with the Philly game. So just for the record, I was on the Mets, but it wasn't a massive play. I just, you know, but I did bet it before the game started out of the principle of, well, they're the better team and I'm getting +135, and also they beat him last week when Nola pitched, right? The Mets threw the no hitter against him.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, I don't know. Colorado just didn't score. They might right now. There, it looks like they're about to. God, this goalie's unbelievable, this kid. So, I don't know. And Teddy, I swear to God, you poor bastard. It was a couple of weeks ago, you and I were talking, and you were on the wrong side. It was the Memphis-Minnesota thing, I think.
Yes, that was.
Yeah, and we said, wow, 26-point lead. And remember, I rattled off 388-8 all time, right?
Yeah, that was fun.
You see the numbers tonight? I opened it up with it, the show tonight?
No, what's tonight?
The Mets were 0-330 when trailing by. At least you get a laugh out of it. They were 0-330, Teddy. I know, it's too funny. When losing by six or more going into the ninth. They've lost 330 freaking times in a row, Teddy, when they're down by six or more. But tonight, they won.
They were due. in the great words of Krusty the Clown.
Yeah. I thought they were due.
They were due, yeah. So, I mean, again, there are no locks. Random things happen. Yeah.
Were you watching it, too? Or did you sort of see the scores? Or were you actually watching the meltdown?
So I wasn't paying attention at all until it was like 7-5. And then I'm like, geez, you know, you're like checking the score. You're like, what the heck's going on over there? And then I got to watch the last three hits. That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
They said it's hard to give up that many runs in an inning. Like I said, I can understand like four or five. Like, all right, you gave him a grand slam, and after that, it's like, all right, come on, guys. Let's get somebody out here. But how about this Mets team? I tell you want to talk about the miracle Mets? This stuff's getting real, man. Last week, they pitched a no-hitter. Tonight, they come back from six down. They haven't lost a series yet this year. They have not lost a series yet, Teddy, this year.
So, certainly on paper, the Mets are as good as anybody this side of L.A., in the National League. Okay. But if you're a Mets fan, you already know. You know, it's May.
Hey, you know, yeah. Everyone knows.
It's May. You know, you tap the brakes.
DeGrom's already hurt. So they already got that out of the way. They're doing all without him.
Sure, but that's... Look, there's a lot to like about the Mets, and there's money to be made with the Mets right now. But in terms of Mets futures... You know, that's not one I'm going to bet.
Yeah, I hear you. What about the division? You think they win a division or way too early for that still?
Well, this division, which was tough as nails, you know, I mean, the NL East has been one of the
competitive
best in baseball.
Well, put it this way, Ted, you're right. Like, the Phillies have spent money. They're not good, but they got good players, right? It hasn't really come together, but you know what I mean? I expected more from the Braves this year. Is it a World Series hangover? I don't know. Maybe, I'm not going to write the Braves off, though, Teddy.
The Braves,
but are we going to write them off?
Yeah. So everybody I talk to coming out of spring training, the Braves are not the team they were a year ago. So the Braves aren't as good. The Phillies are the Phillies. The Nats are, you know, their last place team, and then the Marlins aren't going to win the division. So to win the division, certainly the Mets look very live to me.
And one thing, Teddy, I think with the Mets, and we all know about this stuff. Like, we can go, you know, we've done it a lot. We talk a lot of Met baseball, but like the Wilpons aren't there anymore. So number one, that's a plus, right? So the Wilpons aren't there, and you know, and I know, we all know, man. Steve Cohen's got real money, Teddy. That guy's rich. And he's not afraid to spend it. And in fact, like, he actually like mocked the other owners during the lockout and stuff. He basically like flippantly told them, like, what do you guys want? Like, I'll give you a check right now. Can we start playing? Like, type thing. Because he's like, and they were all scared. They basically told him to his face, we're scared of you, right? You guys and people like you that want to spend all this money. I know, God forbid, Teddy, right? Buy a team and want to spend money on the players. That's the problem with baseball. You got all those owners in, like, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. They don't care about winning, Teddy, right? They own the team, and they make money.
Sure. But it's not like the Mets haven't thrown money at players.
No.
At times.
Yes, just, but that was bad management in the past. And you know what will happen again? Well, they overpaid Scherzer now, bro. They're paying him $43 million a year.
Sure, dude. Was George Foster the first free agent the Mets signed?
Yeah, good call.
You know, I mean, it began right there.
Oh, they've been known for it.
Sure. You know, like the Cuba deals, they got Hernandez and Carter to win the World
Series. We know Robinson Cano didn't work out, right?
There are dozens. And, I mean, you know.
Oh, we can go on.
Benilla, yeah. Who they're still paying. And Vince Coleman in that era, how awful.
Yeah.
Jason Bay, bad. You know. Oh, Jason Bay is going to be the answer. Come on. Michael Dyer. I mean, there's so many.
Bobby Bonilla is still making money. He's still getting like
$2
million
a year. And he was awful. He was awful for the Mets.
But I'm just saying, there's a new regime there, and I get it. It's going to take a while for the smell of the old neighbors to go away.
That's going to make money, though. Yeah.
Yeah. And now listen, it's a great, great start for them. All right, more baseball. We'll hit the NBA with Teddy on the other side. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Don't ruin your appetites. I'm buying lunch for everybody on me.
Wow. What's the occasion?
I'm rich. I won my bets on the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and I chunked it all on a hockey game, and I won that.
Hey, all right. How much did you win?
$116.
What a windfall.
Yeah, I still feel tingly.
Late Night Anger Management Class, old school, Barney Miller. I am old school, Gabriel Morency, kicking it. Teddy Covers in the house. Man, there's some great hockey going on. It'd be even better if Calgary could tie the game, but some good hockey. This is what you call playoff hockey. These teams are crashing, they're banging, they're skating hard. Incredibly fast-paced to this game. Like, this is real hockey here right now, man. This ain't no beer league. This is high elite stuff going on. The Dallas Stars are playing elite hockey. It's a 1-0 Stars. And I tell you, hockey's a lot like soccer, man. You just, when you can't break through, you can't break through. It's a lot like life. You got to keep, we just got to work hard, keep chipping away and keep grinding. There's 10 minutes left in the third period of play. One thing that I see here from watching the Calgary Flames, and it's very un-Calgary-like, but Dallas are doing a good job of clogging the offensive zone up. And they're blocking shots. They're just, you know, they're sacrificing their bodies. They're all in here right now. But seems to me that Calgary aren't just flicking the puck at the net enough. They seem to be trying to set stuff up too much. And don't do it. You're not going to beat this Stars goaltender like that anyways. Just flick the puck at the net, and you got to get lucky. Right? It's basically not luck, but puck luck. You call it. You flick it at the net. You get a rebound. You bang it in. Right, like watch. Every time they get the puck, they start to cycle, and like there you go. They're starting to flick it into the net a little bit more now. Teddy Carver's kicking it with us. WagerTalk.com, Las Vegas, Nevada. So, Teddy, Cincinnati Reds. Cincinnati Reds. And you said you're on Detroit too. I had Houston too. I don't even know that end poorly. I just sort of assumed I was going to win.
No. It was 2-0 into the ninth. You get the ninth inning rally from the Tigers. They scored two with two outs and two strikes, and then the Astros don't even. The Tigers bullpen didn't even get an out in the bottom of the ninth.
I'm gonna have to ask you, why'd you bet that? Come on, their bullpen was beaten up.
School's a monster. I like Scooble a lot. That's why I bet that. I don't think Houston's. I'm not sold on the Astros right now. I'm really not.
You know what, though, Teddy? The Astros have played, what, I think it's 26 games, and I'm not looking at their thing, but they only, put it this way, they only played six games, Teddy, at home before this homestand started. Like, their numbers weren't natural. Like, they, dude, like, here, let me get the exact here. Like, Teddy, they played a lot of road games, man, this team. I don't know why. Like, would they have like a NASA convention at their stadium or something? Like, I don't know. Like, man, I'm telling you, like, they played a lot of road games, and it's tough to start the season on the road the way that they did. So, yeah, the Astros, so now they played 26 games, and they played 16 of them on the road. So coming into this, they'd only played six home games. Now they're starting to rack up the home games this week here. They're still only at 10 right now, and they're 15-11, Teddy. Right? So I think the best is yet to come for the Astros.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly had a nice start to the homestand, you know, and I know better than to step in front of hot teams, teams that are starting to click on all cylinders. They had fun betting against the Yankees in Toronto.
Oh, yeah, I was with you, bro. I bet all three games. So at least I went 1-2. Exactly.
Well, the point is that, yeah, I mean, but Scooble's a guy, but the Tigers can't hit right now, and I know that too. So, obviously, in retrospect, it's a dumb bet. But the point is that you get that miracle two outs, you know, two strike rally in the ninth, and then you waste it. Don't even, you know, you don't even get to enjoy it.
Teddy sounds like the average guy at the book tonight, crying over a drink there. Hey, can you believe it came back and didn't even win? I'm like, that happens, kid. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, I know.
I know what you mean. No, I've been tortured all night. Teddy, I was on the Blue Jays tonight. Same scenario, bro. They're up 2-0. Then they're down 3-2. Then it's 6-2. And then they make it 6-5. They got runners on like first and second with nobody out. And they lose the game 6-5 still. Right? It was freaking frustrating. Last night I was on Minnesota against Baltimore. Same crap. They're losing 5-0 or whatever. They come back. They tie it. Then they lose 10-5. But on the flip side, I was on the Mets tonight. I was on Tampa the other night when Oakland was beating them 5-0. And then they came back. Moral of the story, man, these baseball games, it ain't over till it's over, Teddy. But would you agree that it's even more, it's more volatile than it used to be, Teddy? Isn't it? Come on. Like, it just is. I don't know if I'm imagining it, but I never assume a baseball bet was safe. But I was talking about this last week on the show. Like, let's talk about 20 years ago and stuff. You know, when you were up by 5 runs, you'd figure out we're looking pretty good. Now, I don't know if it's because we're smarter now, we're older, Teddy, but now I'm up by 5 runs. I don't even blink. I don't care. I'm like, it doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything, you know?
So I don't know that it's worse now in terms of the comebacks. It feels like the better betting strategy for baseball is to split some wagers first 5 full games, you know? Split some wagers.
Or play some dogs in game. Run lines.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly other ways to attack the MLB betting marketplace now that weren't available 20 years ago. And, you know, from a hedging standpoint, from a volatility standpoint, from a sanity standpoint, it makes sense to take advantage of some of them because you don't want to, I mean, baseball is the sport, I think, that makes people crazier than any other. And to be able to hedge off stuff, to be able to lock in some profits when you're up, to be able to take different betting strategies to try to achieve the same goal, you know, it makes more sense in MLB than it does in a lot of other sports.
Well, one thing we'll say also, you know, you don't want to overthink things. You talk about riding the hot hand. Well, the Cincinnati Reds are the cold hand, and it's the hot hand to bet against them. So now 3-22, Teddy. But what's amazing about this is they've lost 19 of their last 21 games by 1.5 or more.
Yep.
So the run line. So then I started to think, Teddy, well, I know it's bold, and it's going to, you know, it'll bite us at some point. But I'm like, all right, what about the 2.5 alternate here? 9 of the last 11. They've lost by 3 or more. Like, wow.
And what's the plus price on that?
Yeah, I would say, I don't know. I'm thinking.
Every day you get a plus price on.
Yeah, oh, it's guaranteed. Yeah, I'm thinking plus 140s, you know, with this. I don't have a pending plus 120. Most teams. Let's see it overnight. Let me see here. But unfortunately, who are they playing next? Pittsburgh, right? Let me get the odds up here. I have been riding it, Teddy. I can't lie and say I bet against the Reds every game, but I've been pretty good with it. Earlier, when the numbers were crazy, I was betting against them. Then I was putting them in parlays, and now I've just been run-lining it.
Sure.
Right.
And now it's the kind of streak that's worth run-lining. You know, now, you know, you say, all right, well, I mean, they have played a decently tough schedule. You know, they had Atlanta, they had the Dodgers. They had the Padres, the Cardinals, the Padres again in Colorado and at Milwaukee. So Pittsburgh's the weakest foe.
They haven't got any real cupcakes, you're right.
Yeah, well, they had two games against Cleveland. They lost them too at home. That was early. That was when
even Cleveland's they're a little annoyingly better than I'd like them to be, Cleveland, to be honest, so far this year. And they're not even that good. So listen, they're playing Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Pittsburgh are minus 125, Teddy. Brubaker versus Overton.
Is this a starting pitching matchup you're concerned with?
Brubaker's pretty good, actually. He's all right.
Yeah.
Well, pretty good strong words. He's okay. Yeah. You know what I'm saying.
They've been winning for him.
Well, it's a short price. I mean, you just want to argue. I get it. It's the Pirates. Yeah. All right, so let me look at the Pirates here, run line. We are getting that at bat on the road. So they're plus 135, minus 1.5.
What about minus 2.5?
All right. Now, this is on the road. We're getting ballsy here.
Yeah, I'm just asking because when we get the answer to that, I'm going to tell you how many games Pittsburgh has won this year by 3 runs or more.
Of course, these guys, I don't know why, they have the alternate game total up, but not the alternate run line just to torture me. Just to torture me.
The Pirates' first three wins came by 4 and 5 runs, the last of which was April 14th. They have not won a game by more than 2 runs since.
So they're going to get the old Bronx jeer when they get back. They're going to get mocked back home here, except there could be that, all right, you're back home. The players are going to want to win this game, obviously. Well, they want to win every game, but you know what I mean. They're going to, you know, they're back home. Yet, if it gets ugly early, like, it could be a bad weekend there. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are going to turn on
them. Of course.
Like, out of, like, anger. You know, you saw Teddy. Like, the owner didn't help things when he basically said, we're the only show in town. Suck it. What are you going to do?
Vegas is calling. You know? On the Reds, you know? Though, did you see how many fans Oakland attracted for that series against Tampa?
What? I said the other day, there's more feral cats, wild cats living in that stadium than fans.
Oh, wait. There was like 10,000 for the 3-game set and every day.
They're lying, though, Teddy. And I know this from Montreal.
Every day the attendance.
Put it this way, Teddy. It's like an alcoholic or a degenerate gambler. How many drinks did you have? Just a few. What, you mean 20? Yeah. Hey, you know what I mean? Like, how much did you lose, honey? A couple of hundred. Oh, you mean 200, 200,000? Yeah, you know. So with these tickets, Teddy, bro, when you announced, Teddy, that you sold 2,128 tickets, you got a problem, bro. Like, that means there's like 600 people in the stadium. You know what I mean?
Yeah, take the under. So whether it's Cincinnati, whether it's Oakland, you know, everyone's now that there's multiple teams fighting for Vegas. Yeah.
They can't take the Reds. The Reds ain't going anywhere. Reds aren't leaving Cincinnati. They're the oldest team in the league.
it's modern economic reality.
No, no, they're not. They're not going. Well, the A's are another story. The A's are another story. Gonna worry about UNLV moving. They're not doing well. They're not said they're gonna relocate. Barstow. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This team is fired up. We came here to play.
All right.
He'll lose.
What? Didn't you hear what he said?
Look at the fear in his eyes. Listen to the quiver in his voice. He's a little boy lost in a game of men.
You think we should bet against him?
I bet my entire college fund on it.
You got it.
Mo, $23 on New York.
All right, we're going to overtime here in Denver. The Nashville Predators. This guy's got smoked 7-2 the other night. 1-1. Both these games going under the number, and the Dallas Stars are up 1-0 on Calgary with just a couple of moments left in a hockey game. Right now, Teddy Covers kicking with us, and we were just talking about the Oakland Athletics, Cincinnati Reds, and Vegas and all that, and I thought the Reds aren't going to go anywhere, but it is pretty ugly there. It is ugly, and this jackass owner, I talked about it a bit last night, Teddy, which I said it's hard to believe that you could ever say that Marge Schott is a better owner than this guy, right? But at least they won a World Series in March shot. So yeah, team president Phil Castellini, son of team owner Bob Castellini, told WLW's Mo Egger and Scott Sloan that the ownership is no more pleased with results than the fans after threatening the fans with possibility of moving the team. Where are you going to go? Let's start there. I mean, sell the team to who? If you want to look what we could do with this team and have it be more profitable, make more money, compete more in the current economic system the game exists, it would be to pick up and move somewhere else. So he's basically saying, even though we suck, you better come. And if you don't come, then I'm going to move the team. And I would say, well, don't worry. They're the oldest franchise in the league, and that's not going to happen. But it's not like Rob Manfred would stop it, right? Like, you know, so you might be on to something there. What a train wreck. But, you know, forget about the run line, guys. Basically, if you can get, you can bet against the Cincinnati Reds at minus 125. Let's just do it. And I will say, too, people in Pittsburgh could just start boycotting Teddy and not going, right? They're going to say, screw this guy and call his bluff. It could get ugly. Like you see in Oakland, because there are A's fans in Oakland, Teddy, but they're just done, right? They're tapped out. They're tired of the back and forth with the stadium, and then you see all the time they're moving. I saw the same thing in Montreal. Sort of like it's like a relationship. If you know what I mean, if your wife says, I want to get a divorce, like 5 years in a row every day, finally you snap and tell her to go F herself. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Is that a good analogy? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's an excellent analogy. Yeah.
Thank you.
It kind of plays into your, it plays into your whole mindset, you know? But, I mean, it's really two separate issues, all right? One is the economics of baseball,
yeah,
which is fundamentally flawed in a way that you don't see in the other sports, you know, or it's worse than the other sports. You know, the Dodgers have an
interest. Yeah, but every owner's making money. No, they're all making money, Teddy. It's not competitively flawed. It's by their own doing.
Yes and no. You just said, you know, Cohen's got
how many? Okay, so let me ask you, Teddy. I want to get to picks, but let me ask you, how many of these owners of these crap ass teams, like Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, etc. I don't see any one of them saying, please buy my team. I'm losing money.
Yes, agreed. Agreed wholeheartedly. And that's the second issue here is who owns the teams.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, like it's, you know, now it's too late to do because it costs too much money. But the city should own the teams. There shouldn't be some jackass able to take your team out of your town and do what happened to the Supersonics in Seattle. He's like, yeah, well, thanks, but no thanks. I don't care about you guys.
You're right. It should be no. It's our team. You can't take it. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And the concept of, all right, yeah, you're gonna get rich off of my fandom. No, you know. Can you imagine if the profits from sports went to the cities and what they would do with the infrastructure money instead into some billionaire's pocket, you know? But That's a whole other issue.
You sound like a good point. I know. It'd be great. Imagine the look on the owner's face. Well, Mr. Davis, we're going to build that Allegiant Stadium for you, but we want 8% back of it. What? Exactly. But you know what it is, though, Teddy? And ultimately, they won't do it. And I'm not really a big fan of salary caps, but baseball is so flawed anyways. But they almost need a salary cap to make owners spend money. I mean, Teddy, look, Max Scherzer makes more than the entire Cleveland Guardians do. Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
The floor is the issue for MLB. And when you have a team, you know, like Cincinnati that basically has a fire sale the week before the season's going to start.
But you know who owns the Cleveland Guardians, guys? So, like, they have a $37 million payroll. You know who owns them? The Dolans. Right? It's not the Nick Dolan. It's his brother. Right? So his brother owns the team. And his brother is as rich as he's part of the same fund and blah, blah. He's got like $5.8 billion. It's not like, Teddy, I can't afford players, right? It's not, you know, they don't want to. They don't want to, right? It's an ATM machine for them. Same thing, Teddy, in the NFL, really, right? It's all for show trying to win, Teddy, in sports. You know this, right? You know what I mean? Like, you know, we'll swear to get to the picks, but like this great story, O.J. Simpson, go all the way back. O.J. and the Bills were really good. He ran for 2,000 yards. He led your company. And I guess the Bills were in the playoffs. I think they beat the Steelers, like, who were, like, Super Bowl champs or whatever. Like, and O.J. went in and saw Ralph Wilson. And he said, listen, sir, it was like 1976. He said, just, you know, going to 77. He said, listen, sir. He said, we're really good. He said, we're really close. He said, I'm telling you, man, just sign a couple of more guys. And he goes, I promise you I'll win a Super Bowl. And Ralph Wilson looked at him in the face and told him, why would I want to win a Super Bowl? And O.J. was like kind of shocked. And then he said, if I win a Super Bowl, I'll have to pay everyone on the team how much I pay you right now. He goes, we're doing just fine as it is. O.J. got up, went to San Francisco.
That's a different era, because now...
No, it's a now. Teddy, the Jacksonville Jaguars made like $148 million last year.
Yes, but when you think about how much...
So what's their incentive to win? Even if you win, the guy in Cleveland won with the Cavaliers, he lost money because he was over the luxury tax and he got a bunch of bad contracts. It is true. Winning doesn't equal money for the owners automatically.
Correct, but the merchandising is where there's three ways.
Well, you can gouge them for season tickets for years to come, right? So you battle for season tickets.
And your jerseys are hot and all that stuff.
But you don't make that much. The brand, the value of the franchise is like when LeBron was there and they won, the value of the Cavs is a ton. Now it's not as worth as much. Right? It's sort of that.
The other thing that happens when you win a title is all of a sudden now your stadium goes through, you know?
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, look at the Cavaliers are a good example. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they put all that money in. What did it do for them? LeBron left, and they were Cleveland again. Right? And the team, you know, went back to their value. But listen, sports, that's another story, Teddy, ownership and stuff. But you almost don't have a choice. Like, baseball is fundamentally flawed. And they do these little lockouts, and they come out, and the same damn thing happens. I remember, Teddy, it was the same goddamn thing in 1994 with the Expos. Right? It was the same thing. The Expos were like 60 games over 500. Oh, this is crazy. It's getting out of control. And the guy, Reinsdorf in Chicago, he led the damn charge. They come out of the break. The first thing he does is give Albert Bell like $300 million. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, bro, you were the one that just said we didn't want to do this, right? Anyways, you get me fired up, Teddy.
And then proceeded not to win any titles.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask you about NFL, but let's get a jumper to the NBA. I'm just so disinterested in this Miami-Philadelphia series. Miami, Philadelphia opened as a one-point favorite. Miami are -3 right now. Phoenix +1 at Dallas. Milwaukee -2.5 on Saturday. Saturday slate is where it's at as far as the entertainment aspect. Warriors like 7.5 at home to the Grizz. Bucks were at 3. I see 2.5 now, Teddy. What's your impression on the NBA slate?
So, Embiid's not going tomorrow for Philly. Hence all the money for Miami. And, you know, it feels like maybe the Sixers have a game in them, doesn't it? And yet Miami, I just have no interest in stepping in front of Miami in that.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. It's like,
the risk-reward factor isn't enough. You know what I mean? You're right.
No, the Heat are, you know, the Heat. But at the same time, like, can't you just picture Philly stealing one here and then, like, going on to Embiid comes back for game four and all of a sudden here are the Sixers going back to Miami with the series tied? You know, I mean, stranger things have happened.
But don't forget also the negativity. They could turn on Harden and these guys pretty fast if Miami get up. It could go either way. I got Miami winning. You know what, Philly? I don't think they're going to get swept. You know, they have one game. One game. So they split here, and then they go back to Miami and lose.
At the same time, like, Harden looks done, doesn't he? You know, I'm like, yeah. I'm like, game two is a James Harden game, and he came out in the first half and scored, what, like 16? And then was completely invisible. I mean, just invisible. Harden doesn't bring enough on the defense.
He doesn't have the stamina. Exactly.
Playmaking end. To, you know, if he's invisible, James Harden can't be on the floor. And then, oh, by the way, don't they have to pay him now, too? That's kind of funny.
Good. He'd be good. Well, the same jackasses that, they're going to be unstoppable together. Yeah, good for you. Have fun with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I'd almost rather have Ben Simmons and his nothingness than Harden in my room, to be honest, but go on.
Dude, Philly's A game is championship worthy, though. That's the thing. It's like,
it never is. That's just all hype.
No,
if it was, when have they ever done
Philly's
it?
Philly's on this year. When Maxey's hitting and Harden's creating and Embiid is
in the regular season.
Low post and the Isaiah Joes are coming off the bench and making plays.
I'll tell you right now, Teddy, if Scotty Barnes, if Joel Embiid wasn't a dirty whatever, and good for him, I'm glad he got hurt. I don't feel bad for him. He knocked out Scotty Barnes. He injured like four players in the first game. He's elbowing people in the face. You get what you deserve.
Serious.
That's what he's doing. I know, and you're right. I totally love it. That's hockey style. That's what Steve Kerr said. Steve Kerr said, you see what he said to the ref the other day? He said, hey, there's a difference between playing tough and just being dirty, because these guys are dirty. Right? Like, you know what I mean?
That's funny.
I like Milwaukee, Teddy. I like Milwaukee. But Dallas and Phoenix, they're getting overwhelmed here, so... What about going back to the Big D?
So it's. I feel like I missed a really. I bet Dallas Phoenix under in each of the first two games and watch the Suns hit just every shot in both games. You know, the pace was there, but like the just like that hockey game you're talking about right tonight. That's where they're flying around. They're like flying up and down the ice, and the score's one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Phoenix games have been as slow as molasses for extended stretches.
There's been a million fouls, too, that helped the overs,
Sure, and they haven't missed any free throws. So, whatever. But instead of taking the side, I took the total both times, which is stupid. Phoenix is clearly the better team. Phoenix is clearly coming on out of this. You know, isn't a scenario like Philly if they get Embiid. They steal game three and then they get Embiid back.
But they got one at home. I don't think they get swept, Teddy. They got a game in them.
They don't. Phoenix is a mature team, man. You know, and they got tested by New Orleans in the first round. Might have been the best thing that happened to them.
And Booker getting hurt earlier in the playoffs was good too, right? They got it out of the way. He's back. They can absorb it. No, they're the real deal.
They shot 60.
Colorado win 2-1 in overtime.
There you go.
Colorado Avalanche, all you parlay players out there, survive. Heartbreaker. You're a heartbreaker. Dream breaker.
Oh, you going to see me some Pat Benatar?
Yeah. No. Did you see the Colorado Rockies scoreboard guy, Teddy?
Yes.
That was great. You mentioned Pat Benatar, Harper.
That song.
Yeah, looks like his girl left him or something. He went on this rampage. Kick people out of your life for the negative. Don't be a heartbreaker. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Like that anger management class. Dear God, this hour flew by. I was going to get Teddy out of here. We got to babysit the chat. Like, dear God, yo, Sean, take your medication, chill out, and watch the show, bro. I don't advocate for, like, people taking pharmaceuticals and stuff, but for you, I do. Like, you know what I mean? Go see a doctor, bro. All right? Please. All right? We didn't even boot you. All right, we didn't boot you because the guy we told you boot wasn't there when I told him to boot you. So we didn't boot you. I'm not going to boot you. You're a longtime listener and stuff. You're all right. You get a little weird sometimes, but just stop talking so much. You're annoying other patrons. All right, you're like a dude in the bar at the end of the bar. All right, it's just like now you're bothering the other people in the bar. So chill out, Teddy, with us. Teddy, so I got to deal with Teddy. See what
you're
we deal with Teddy.
In the chat, man. Yeah. But it's like. I don't agree with pharmaceuticals, but for you, that's okay. Remind me of that old line from Caddyshack. You know, we got a pool. We got a pond. The pond's good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I don't. Beautiful. I was gonna say I don't believe in pilling people up, but if I was like right away, I'd be like, listen, strap them down and pill them up. All right, get them out of my way.
Just chill. It's okay. It'll be okay.
I didn't kick him out. I respect my fans. I know a lot of them are nuts and stuff. It's all good, Sean. Just stop typing so much. All right?
It'll be okay. That's just it. Just tomorrow's all a new day, man.
Hey, Ty, you ready for some football, Teddy? FanDuel's got numbers up for everything. Coach of the year, offensive rookie of the year, who's going to have most yards, you name it.
No, I'm ready. I'm ready. I wish the season started tomorrow.
All right. I got a coach of the year for you. Mike McDaniel, coach of the Miami Dolphins. 18-1. 18-1.
There's worse bets than that, I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you, he's in a good situation. They like to get a new coach. They like to get a new guy, right? Dable's not going to win in New York.
No. I'd love to see the Dolphins do good and make them look better in the Flores lawsuit.
I like the conspiracy pick on the way out. We'll hit this, carry this on next week. Thank you, Teddy. Bring it.